You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to Truth Will Out Radio. Today's date is Friday, the 25th of May, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. And of course, I am joined by the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, Communism by the Back Door, and the Freemasonic Victors of World War II, Mr. Dennis Wise. Dennis, how are you doing today?
I'm okay, thanks. Yeah, I'm looking forward to today.
Yeah, I think we've got a good podcast prepared for the listeners. But I did have a bit of a shock when I first went to your channel. It seems as if you've been banned from viewing your own videos, Dennis.
You know, it never really bothers me when I get banned because all it emphasizes is that I'm right.
It's bizarre, isn't it? You know, to ban somebody from viewing their own content that they've made.
And well, I think you call it a shadow ban, where they haven't banned the channel outright, but obviously people in England can't. All they see is no content.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They've banned it for people in Britain, regardless of the fact that it was actually created by somebody in Britain. maybe they think...
after the glorious thing, trust me.
It's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. I'll just remind listeners that aren't already aware of it, there is a website called HookTube, and basically you just paste in the address from YouTube into HookTube, and then you can watch whatever it is that they tried to ban you from watching in Britain. And you can also get the comments there as well, which is particularly useful for us because we've got comments to go into again tonight from the most recent video. But just before we went on air, Dennis, you sent me a link to Alison Chablow, and I was aware that she'd been found guilty, and she's got to wait, I think, until some date in June before she'll actually be sentenced. But I didn't realise there was fights outside of court, apparently. Of course, it was the left. It was the Antifa. It was someone with a Jewish flag and a Jewish star on his face. Trying to attack an elderly man. Of course, Daily Mail have said, "Oh, there's a fracas," and they're reporting as well. They said, "Oh, there was one person shouting shame in the court," but in the other news reports I've seen, it said there was 20 of Alison Chablow's supporters that were all shouting shame, shame when she was found guilty. It's absolutely ridiculous that they're saying that she couldn't have made these songs without intending to offend somebody. Well, all comedy is about poking jokes at people, isn't it? And poking fun at people.
I've said it before that we live in a Zionist country. And when you go to court with a Zionist judge, the odds on winning are probably less than 0%.
Right, it's just that there's one particular group that we are not allowed to make jokes about. We're not allowed to poke fun at them. We're not allowed to draw pictures of them. Not allowed to draw any pictures of them. Josh Bonehill drew a picture of a Jew, or the equivalent of that, and he was given 4 years in prison for making up a picture of a happy merchant outside of Auschwitz. So we're not even allowed to make caricatures of them, and yet we're supposed to all be equal under the law. Yet there's this special group. And I think they're behind your videos being banned, Dennis. Don't you?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. All this rings true to the takeover of Russia, where they did everything very similar. They stopped freedom of speech and the boot come down on anybody who criticised the Jews.
Well, they're now talking about a six-year prison sentence for people that share videos or have a popular channel. That's their latest one. And in the Soviet Union, it was the death penalty for criticising Jews.
Well, that could still come yet.
Well, they keep pushing it. And just before we really get into the podcast, I'd just like to remind people, check out Mark Collett's video from last week, because he talks about this new 6-year prison sentence. They're having a public consultation over sentencing guidelines, and they want to hear from members of the public what they think should be a reasonable sentence for people with YouTube channels, basically. So if you go to watch that video, in the description underneath it, there is a link to the government website, and there's an online questionnaire that you can fill in, and you can tell them what you think of giving people six years for having a YouTube channel. It might take about 3 hours to fill the questionnaire in, but please do it so that they do at least have some, you know, that they do at least note that there is some discontent with this. People shouldn't be jailed just for words alone. It's ridiculous. So that's at Mark Cullett's channel. So please do check that out. And of course, check Dennis's channel out if you live in another country.
See
apart from Britain. Or check it out on HookTube. Anyway, we've got lots and lots of questions and comments that were left on the most recent video, which I thought was excellent. We discussed that last week, and we're going to be discussing more to do with it next week as well. I think it's, you know, I knew that Adolf Hitler was a Christian, but I didn't know that he was a super Christian, a super Catholic, and that's pretty much what you've shown in that video, Dennis, isn't it?
Well, it's what I've always said, and I swore to myself that one day I would prove it, because not to know exactly what went on there is kind of denying what's going on today. People are just ignorant to the fact that they're just carrying on this, well, I suppose, this genocide of Europe.
Well, it's all in the name, isn't it? The Third Reich, that's the Third Holy Roman Empire. That's what it is. That's what a Reich is. And the leader of that Holy Roman Empire was Adolf Hitler. He was the political arm of it, and the spiritual arm of it was the Pope. And he was hoping that he would have been crowned eventually, like the old
Emperor.
Roman emperors were. Yeah, and the SS, they were the equivalent of the Teutonic Knights. This is why when there's the Finland SS, their song that they're singing, they talk about how they are protecting the Holy Roman Empire in it. It's not an anti-Christian song at all. Some people think it's an anti-Christian song, but it's actually talking about protecting the Holy Roman Empire, because that's what the SS was for. We're going to go into some more of that tonight.
Yeah.
But first off, I've got a question that came in fairly late, actually. This one came in from the chat room, and this is from Anglo Falcon. And he said, I'd be interested to know if Dennis has any opinions on the Rockefeller Foundation's 100 Resilient Cities project in relation to United Nations Agenda 21/Agenda 2030 New World Order rollout, or smart sustainable cities. And I have to admit, I know vaguely what he's talking about here, but not much. So what are your opinions on that, Dennis?
Yeah, well, I'm the same, to be honest. But what I know about the Rockefeller Foundation, I mean, not everybody realizes that the United Nations is a communist organization which was given ground in New York City by Rockefeller. And the actual building is built on the Communist Manifesto, which I've said many times, you know, that's what we're heading for. And all these foundations, I think they give out grants to, you know, people who apply. And what they do is they push what they call the truth of globalism and everything what goes along with it. I think Greenpeace is one, believe it or not, and Amnesty International, which might surprise a lot of people, but they're funded by Rockefeller. So consequently, it's the New World Order agenda. And this one, which mentions, about the smart cities. I think it says to build them now in Britain. I think there's one just outside London. And what I can gather from it is that, there's a lot of, detection, you know, with cameras and stuff like that on these places as well. So we're more or less going to be putting like little prisons with all our knowledge being recorded somewhere, our conversations. I noticed a new video today, what mentioned Amazon, and a woman was told about her conversation being heard 178 miles away, and she immediately pulled all the wires out of everything of this Amazon toy, which whatever it were called. So yeah, we're going under deeper, detection of what we say and what we think.
Oh, it's dangerous, that Alexa toy. I know people that have got that. It's just this thing in the room, and they talk to it, and they think it's great because they can ask.
Switch
it,
the lights on,
and they can ask it. You know, as if you were typing a question into Google, and you can just ask it to this toy. But of course, it's listening to you all the time, and uploading it, and linked up to the internet. It's just a spy within the home. It's interesting though that you mentioned Greenpeace and Amnesty International, Dennis, because of course Amnesty International won't do anything at all about our political prisoners that are in prison for criticising Jews or Muslims or immigration. They've got no interest in that. And of course, Greenpeace have got no interest in the fact that we are tarmacking over all our green field sites in order to make cities to put immigrants in. And if they really wanted to preserve the land, they would say, well, stop immigration. It's the same with the Greens. If the Greens really wanted to preserve species that are going extinct, they would be preserving the white race, but they're not. They're doing the opposite. And, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head there where you say, well, their funding comes from Rockefeller. And if it's not Rockefeller, it will be another globalist organization. They're just fronts. They pretend to be doing something good, but they're just a front to do evil to the white man, really.
Exactly. Exactly. That's you hit the nail on the head.
Okay, let's move into the comments on the video. The first one comes from Kill for Peace. And he says, Dennis, please explain to me then the dealings with the Thule Society and all the other occult things, and Himmler's Order of the Black Sun and the large occult libraries he had, the explorations to the Himalayas, etc. It seems well documented. I need to know the truth, as you so often tell. Now, I'll just point out, we dealt with the Thule Society in a podcast a few weeks back, didn't we? We talked about that.
And yeah.
There really wasn't that much evidence for it.
No. And he said there was no room in the movement for it.
Yeah, well, he spoke out against these secret organisations. The Thule Society thing, it was just something that one or two of them had gone to before they were National Socialists. It certainly wasn't all of them. This Himmler's...
There were five men and a dog round a pub when he found them. Yeah,
it's a mountain made out of a molehill. And Himmler's Order of the Black Sun, there was no Order of the Black Sun. The Black Sun is an image that was on the floor of the Revelsburg Castle. And they don't know if it was put there by the SS or whether it was there before. And they don't know what the image is meant to represent, but to me, it represents Christ, because Christ is the light that no man can see. And that's the only time anything like that is ever referenced in religious literature or magical literature, is about a light which no man can see. And it's in the Bible. And that's Christ. He's the light that no man can see. And that's what that image is. It's of a sun that nobody could actually see. It's not an eclipse. It's not an alchemical cult, symbol. Yeah. It's the black sun. It's life itself. The way I see it, you've got the material sun, which is really an imposter, because that doesn't give us life. We need it to sustain life, but that isn't what created us. That isn't what gives us this animating spirit. The sun shines on dead bodies as much as it shines on living bodies. There's obviously a light which we cannot see, which is what gives us life. And that's what that image of the black sun, to me, that's what it represents. It would be far better to have that image as the halo around the saints' heads than, you know, the light that we do have, because in those images, in those images, they're trying to show that's a spiritual light, and to that black sun symbol, that conveys it much better that it's a spiritual light than anything else. Mm. I mean, what do you think about these large occult libraries that he had, that Himmler had?
Well, I mean, even Hitler had, was a great reader, and so I mean, to digest everything what's going on around him, they must have to read certain books and whatever to understand what the enemy are doing. It's not proof of actually being part of it, but being well versed in it.
I tell you could look at my library and you'd find Gnostic stuff and magic stuff, and you'd find a Quran and you'd find a Bhagavad Gita. It doesn't mean that I follow it. It just means that I like to learn about what I am against. I like to read the source material. And what about this bit here about the explorations to the Himalayas? Do you know anything about them, Dennis?
Well, I mean, I think we covered that in that PDF, what I managed to get hold of, where it was the belief that Christ wasn't a Jew, and he sent out people like to to the Middle East and to Tibet to find out the truth about Jesus, not about the occult.
Well, yeah, they sent out people to find out about Jesus in Galilee. But I think what they were doing in the Himalayas, they sent out people to find the origins of the white race. Because obviously empires. I say we, I mean the white race. We had empires in India, Egypt, Mesopotamia. We even had them in America. In fact, I've just recorded a whole series, 5-part series on lost white civilizations, which will be on next week. It's on the Daily Nationalist, and it deals with, what does it deal with? China, India, the Middle East, Egypt, and America. And each one of those countries had a sizable white population that were the ruling caste that started off the civilizations there. So obviously what Himmler was doing was sending out people to investigate this because nobody else was doing it. You had this discovery of Indo-European, which meant that the languages used in India had the same root as the languages used in Europe, which meant that it was the same people there originally. That's where the term Aryan first came into use as well for white people. So that's what he was doing in the Himalayas. It doesn't mean that he's some kind of devil worshipper. Yeah.
Race was the overriding factor. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
And the history of it. So that doesn't mean that they were into the occult at all. That's a Hollywood thing to try and put people off.
Well, there we go. Yeah, Spielberg. Had it again.
Make them out to be evil people. Next comment, John Michael Patrick. He says, are you telling me that the Jews and the Freemasons are the same people? I've got some thinking to do, he says.
Well, no, I wasn't telling him that. I was saying that Masonry is a Jewish organization at the root. Not all Freemasons understand the agenda of what Freemasonry is all about, but they're not meant to, because Pike actually said that the Blue Lodges, you know, they've no idea, they're meant to have no idea. And so consequently, what I'm saying to him is, I wouldn't join because it is a Jewish organization which even deceives their own Freemasons.
It's all about serving the Jews. Even one of their oaths it says something about serving the Jews, always looking out for the Jews to make sure they're not being persecuted. And the whole thing is based on Jewish Kabbalah and Jewish magic. So, yes, it does have Jews involved and it has Gentiles involved, but it's basically about serving the Jewish agenda. It's a club for Gentiles that gets used to serve the Jewish agenda of the New World Order and sowing revolutions, because they couldn't just do it on their own. They have to have Gentiles as front men and doing these things for them.
And not everyone knows. And the problem is, of course, in the Talmud, it states in clear print that, you know, even the best of the Gentiles must be killed.
It certainly does, and that's what happened in the wars. Carrying that out to the letter. The next one is also about Himmler, and this is from somebody called Blame Stosh. And he says, I thought Himmler was a pagan. How was he a Catholic? Now, I've got a couple of quotes here from that PDF, which I think explain how Himmler was a Catholic. Shall I read these quotes, Dennis?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, and then you comment on it. The SS officers were given the important task of protecting the Holy Lance and the crown jewels of the Roman Empire. Himmler renovated the Wevelsburg Castle, located deep in the sacred Teutoburg Forest. The castle became a masterpiece of late Renaissance architecture. It became the SS officer training academy, where soldiers prepared for knighthood with spiritual and intellectual training exercises. He was fascinated, that's Himmler. Himmler was fascinated by the rites and traditions of the Holy Roman Emperors. A replica of the Holy Lance was kept on his desk. Replicas of the imperial crown, scepter and orb were put in glass display cases in the castle museum. Himmler was inspired by medieval Europe and supported Hitler's plan to restore the Holy Roman Empire. Therefore, the SS was created to function as the Holy Knights of the Third Reich. In 1937, Himmler explained, "Be in no doubt that we would not be able to be this body of men bound by a solemn oath if we did not have the firm belief in a Lord God who rules over us, who has created us and our fatherland, our people and this earth, and who sent us our leader." He further wrote, "We have the holy conviction that according to the eternal laws of this world, we are accountable for every deed, for every word, and every thought, that nothing our mind thinks up, our tongue speaks, and our hand does, is completed with the act itself, but is a cause which will have its effect, which in an inevitable, inexorable cycle rebounds upon ourselves and our people in the form of a blessing or curse. Believe me, men with this conviction are anything but atheists. So if he's going to be leading the knights of the Holy Roman Empire, I don't really see how he could be anti-Christian. I mean, you could say that, well, you would have to be a Christian. And what he's saying there is that he's certainly not an atheist. And he believes in Lord God. And the Lord God is Yahweh. It's the Christian God is the Lord God. That's the term. That's the title for the Christian God is Lord God. So, you know, I don't know whether you were saying that he was a Catholic or whether you were just saying he was a Christian. But I think it's quite clear that he wasn't anti-Christian and he wasn't anti-Catholic, or he wouldn't have been leading the new knights of the Holy Roman Empire, would he?
Well, exactly. I mean, you go back to his original question. I thought Himmler was a pagan, thought being the opposite word. It's been inundated, obviously, with a lot of propaganda and occult since the war. And what I can remember when I first came across this PDF on a website, well, a couple of years ago, I only found it recently, you know, to back up what I've been saying, was that Himmler left the Catholic Church, not for any kind of religious reason, but for personal reasons. It's like a little bit like a lot of Catholics today. They still remain Catholic, but they don't accept what this Pope is saying. So he had his own personal reasons. He didn't specifically say what they were, but he said to the other SS members, don't follow suit. This is my own personal decision. And the fact that you said that he still led an organization, which was a Teutonic Knight organization based on them, that he was still a Christian and believed in God.
Well, he had to have been a Catholic originally then, didn't he?
He was born a Catholic, yeah.
Yeah, because he named one of the rooms after his patron saint, which shows that he still had sympathies at the time of the Wittelsburg Castle, if he's going to name it after his patron saint. I think there's been a lot of spurious propaganda being put out after the war. Even some books that supposedly came from the Third Reich, and there's some that I'm thinking of that were sold in America, and they claim to that's where they actually came from. But there's no real sources for it, and you know some of them look like they were just letters that were sent in to magazines. And what you could do if you wanted to show that they were anti-Christian, you could just collect the odd anti-Christian stuff, say it was, 1% of what was actually sent in, and then just put it all together in a book and say, look, this is official National Socialist propaganda here.
Well, I've been saying for a long time, anything after 1945, what came out, you can't trust, because they didn't allow anything truthful about the Third Reich anyway to come out, or anything positive. So at the end of the day, you know, I've said it many times, all these YouTube videos, they never get taken down about the occult. But when you get right down to it and you believe that the Freemasons do practice that Jewish mysticism and the occult, which we know they do, and that was taken out of Europe by Hitler, and then suddenly it was put all back in again after the war was over, you could only lead to one conclusion. You never hear about the Allies themselves being of the occult, only in my videos when I show John Dee and other people like that. This country is built on witchcraft and occultism, but nothing's ever said. It's just blame it all on the Germans to keep everybody on the back foot.
Well, also you've got to think, what's going to be more popular? Sensationalist, salacious stuff about devil worshipping Nazis, or something that says that actually they were Christians?
Well, exactly. And it serves two purposes, doesn't it? Demonizes them at the same time.
And makes a profit for the publisher.
It's always going to be there, isn't it?
Yeah, they're going to be encouraged to print what they think people are going to want. And there is a fascination, quite rightly so, I would say. There is a fascination with our history and, you know, our pre-Christian beliefs. They're exciting, they're colourful, you know, all these tales of these gods and you can feel that you're different to everybody else. You're following this, and you're rejecting, you know, the what's going on, the modern world, by returning back to your pre-Christian beliefs. You know, it's enticing, and there is a large market for that. So people are going to, they're going to try and make money out of that, and they're going to encourage it. So they're not going to print copies of the book on positive Christianity. That's only going to be available if you search for it online. What you're going to find publicly is lots of stuff showing that the Nazis were devil worshippers and pagans and Satanists.
Hollywood garbage, yeah.
Yeah. Moving on to the next one. And this is Sylviads. I am confused. Why did the SS have skull and bones associated with their uniforms if they were trained as Christian representatives? I look forward to a legitimate response. Thank you. What are your thoughts on that, Dennis? Why do they have skull and bones?
Yeah, well, I looked into this a while back, actually, because obviously there's a, you know, people think there's a connection with the skull and bones in Yale with the Bush family, which is, you know, I can assure you Hitler would have jailed them just as quick as he jailed the Freemasons. But yeah, what it boils down to is that, what I found out anyway, is that it was originally an emblem worn by the World War One pilots, who wore the emblem to show they'd no fear of death. And this kind of spread to the other units again, you know, in World War Two, where the skull and bones, you know, was there represented, we have no fear of death. That's what I found out.
Well, they were warriors as well. They were knights. They were warriors. They're not going to have, you know, flowers and teddy bears on their hats. They want to strike fear into the hearts of the enemy. And this is, if you look at all the armies in the world, they have, you know, scary titles for things and scary images of things because that's what they're there for.
Planes and everything, yeah, sharks, teeth.
Yeah, and it's supposed to reassure the people on whose side they are fighting. So if the SS are fighting on your side, you want them to be as fearsome as possible. You want them to have skull and crossbones. You know, you want to terrify the enemy because you're the good guys. Sure. And even in the Bible, it says, God says, I make good and I make evil. And at the end, in the day of the Lord, it, you know, it's a huge bloodbath. And Christ's got horns, ram's horns, all sorts goes on in the book of Revelation. So, you know, you want people that are going to be looking fierce. So I suggest that's why they have it on there. It's just common sense, really. Yeah. And just because they are Christian and Christian knights that are defending the Holy Roman Empire, you know, it doesn't mean that they're turning the other cheek or anything like that. That, you know, they're the defensive forces.
Well, can I just say that, you know, obviously, they are big fed again, propaganda and lies even. But that particular branch of skull and bones at Yale did originate in Germany, in Bavaria somewhere, with the Illuminati. So that is a link with Germany, I suppose, that they could see and then exploit. But that, as we know, you know, from what the video last week, is that Hitler destroyed Freemasonry wherever the Germans went. And so, you know, Skull and Bones is kind of a branch of Freemasonry and occultism, and it would have been no different. You know, Bush would have been strung up, you know, no doubt.
It was originally a pirate's flag as well, wasn't it? It was tied in with the Masons. I don't know. Yeah.
British Empire, yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking about, we were talking in a podcast a while back, weren't we, about the British Empire that were actually running the pirates against Spain. Yeah. And that's what the Spanish Armada was about, was these pirates that kept plundering the gold, on the way back. So they would have been linked in, these pirates with their skull and crossbones would have been linked in with the Masons and linked in with the Empire at the time. So, I mean, it comes from a fearsome symbol, isn't it? The skull and crossbones, the death's head. Again, it's just to strike fear in the enemy. That was the source of it. And their uniforms as well, the black uniforms, that was the same as the Teutonic Knights, apparently, black and white.
Yeah, that was based on the Teutonic Knights, I mean, the evidence was overwhelming when we all came out, flooding through the gates. Like I said before, I've been getting bits and dribs and drabs in this particular documentary. In your previous episodes, we mentioned, you know, we had the guy from the Vatican talking about how they ignored the Americans and the British when they were meeting Pavlovich. You know, I think it's pretty obvious now that we know with the, obviously we're getting all the Germans as many as they could out of Europe at the end of the war. I think we know which side of the Vatican we're on.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And the next comment is a really good one. It's more confirmation of what you were saying, Dennis. And this is from Golden and Martz. And he says, the rat lines that you mentioned in an earlier episode were also called Klosterleinen in German, which means as much as monastery lines. It's not rat lines, monastery lines.
We mentioned that about the eyes, rat lines, didn't we?
These were the routes provided by the Vatican for National Socialists to escape to South America after World War II. It is a fact that the Catholic Church worked together with National Socialist Germany. I think it is very intriguing how people deal with this information. While we see it as a further proof of Adolf Hitler's righteous intentions, most people just view it as a shameful and criminal chapter of the history of the Church.
That's quite true, because the commentary running through the bits what I've shown in that episode, which proves the Church did work with Adolf Hitler, it's not very, you know, it doesn't praise the Catholic Church. It's the worst hour, the worst day, but they would say that, you know, because they did help the Germans.
Well, it's like when the Jews attack the Catholic Church, don't they? They say, oh, they helped the Nazis. And yep. Fascism is Christian. The Jews will say that, but a lot of nationalists will try to argue that isn't the truth, or that it was some cover, some lie that the fascists were saying. They were lying to their people. No, they weren't. And again, we pointed out the importance of the language that was used. How when it's black slaves, it's an underground railroad, but when it's white national socialists, they call it a rat line. So it's just nice to know that they called it monastery lines, acknowledges that it's the Church that was helping out there, and the people weren't rats. They were the good guys. Next comment, Pro Veritas. He says, Dennis, there are so many people on YouTube that do tons of pagan LARPing and claim the SS was based primarily on paganism. Please give me your best sources to prove that the pagans are just blowing smoke. What are your sources, Dennis?
Well, the thing is, it is renegade. I mean, Karl does have this thing about Christianity, which, you know, he does push over there in America. But what I said to this guy was, you don't quite understand what this video actually is showing and what it means. There's nobody who can be a pagan whatsoever can be in this video, because whatever the video is about, it's nothing to do with pagans. It's all to do with Christianity, the Roman Catholic Church, and the Roman Catholic Empire. None of this comes anywhere close to a pagan. So when the Vatican are giving Adolf Hitler complete control, leaving the political arena, giving Hitler complete control, handing him over Europe as a protector of Europe, that cannot happen with a pagan, because the Catholic Church just wouldn't do it. Now, the SS guarding the cloak of Jesus, unless you think a fox can guard a chicken coop, that would never happen. The fact is that these SS men would die, you know, to stop somebody from stealing this cloak. A pagan would not be given that job, and the Church would certainly insist on pagans not given that job. We're talking Jesus' cloak. It's probably... You couldn't put a price on it. So this whole episode is to say, this is where it was, whether you believe it was pagan or Catholic, this is how it was, make your own mind up, and there's nothing in there that's pagan.
Well, I can remember a while back there was a book, I'm trying to remember the name of the author, from Moses to Bolshevism, something like that. And people were saying, oh, look at this. I think it was Dietrich Eckart. Look, this is anti-Christian, and he was Hitler's teacher. And there was a German guy, and he had some publications that had come from the time in Germany that were warning about a spurious book that was this book, basically. It was a fake book. It was put out with anti-Christian propaganda. So they tried to portray the Germans as being anti-Christian right back from since before the war. There's also an image which you can see on Google Images, and it's got a picture of a Bible with a knife going through it. Yeah, it's written in English. You know, it's not a National Socialist poster. It's somebody that is trying to smear them. And even that interview with Himmler, or after they say the oath, after the SS men say the oath, they say how what an idiot an atheist is, and how ridiculous they are. And the oath was
megalomania.
And the oath was specifically to a Lord God. It's not an oath to a God. It's an oath to a Lord God, which is the German way of saying the God of the Old Testament, the Christian God. It's like, you know, when they say, well, freedom to practice religion. And what they mean when they wrote freedom to practice religion was they meant that people could practice Catholicism or Protestantism. They didn't mean that people could practice Islam or paganism or witchcraft. It meant Protestant or Catholic. Go on.
Can I just say something? I mean, I can argue all day. I can say to a pagan, there's 100 speeches where Hitler talked about defending Christianity. And that pagan's going to turn around to me and say, he didn't really mean that, because if people thought he were pagan, they wouldn't vote for him. They've got an excuse for everything I can say. The fact is, this episode is like, nothing in it can be denied. If I say you're going to burn your hand if you put your hand in that fire, you're going to burn your hand when you put that hand in your fire. Don't matter what anybody else says, if you will or won't. That's like that episode. You know, it is what it is, and it can't be denied. Put your hand in a fire, you're going to get burned. It's that mentality. It's a remarkable, if I say it myself, a remarkable episode.
And they also led by example. You know, by getting rid of usury, by getting everyone back to work. You've got that speech by Goebbels that lists all of that. And he says, would a pagan do any of this? Pagans don't do any of this. It's Christians that do all of this. And he was saying that directly to directly to go against these slurs and slanders that they were anti-Christian. Because that was one of the ways that that Germany was attacked. And again, it's Jews behind this.
Of course, see, I mean, I've always said that it was a holy war, but what people always miss is the fact that I've always said that they've hid it, and there's a reason why they're hiding it. And, you know, people either believe me or they didn't believe me, but the fact is they don't do things for no reason. So they're saying, right, if we can, during the war, say, and before the war, right, we won't let anybody realise it's a Christian war, because none of the Christian soldiers in the American outfits or the British outfits I'd want to fight. So they've got to keep that quiet. So during the war, and after, it's the same thing, but after the war, they're then thinking, right, well, we won this war, but we don't want to really go bragging about it, because we want to kill all Christians and all white race. And so we'll keep it quiet and then quietly just get on with what we're doing. And this is how they work. I mean, they've done it in other examples as well, but this is primarily, you know, the carrying on of the genocide that World War II was all about.
Well, Hitler's own writings as well. He speaks positively of Christianity throughout Mein Kampf, and I went through one chapter from Mein Kampf, the chapter on race and nation, and every other page had a reference from the Bible in it, either a quote or an analogy or used the actual verse itself, and I did a whole podcast on it, and I read them all out, and it was more than one on every other page. Which shows you that Adolf Hitler was very, very well read in the Bible. He must have read the book through. He understood it. He could quote bits from it. And he wasn't quoting bits from it to say, well, this is wrong. He was quoting bits from it to prove his point, to show that what he was saying is correct, because it's the same thing that's said in the Bible, basically. I mean, this guy that said this, he's looking for proofs, and there are proofs everywhere. I mean, just the word itself, the Third Reich, I think that's, you know, I mean, that's unarguable.
Itself, yeah. Exactly. Reich under the fire, you're going to burn it. It's unarguable.
Yeah, the Reich is the Holy Roman Empire. So the Third Reich is the third one of those, and the leader of the Holy Roman Empire, I mean, it's a nonsense to say, oh, you must be a pagan. He's trying to get rid of Christianity by reviving Christianity. Got a bit of a theme to this episode this week, haven't we, Dennis?
Well, sensing a theme. You can't avoid it, can you? Because that's what we're all about. And now we're finally finding some concrete evidence. I mean, how long has that been in the fact that the Catholic Church had closed down the centre party, told them to vote for Hitler, And so then, you know, he got this Enabling Act, became dictator, closed down their own centre party, and the Vatican backed off. Now, if we'd have known this early on, there wouldn't be all this pagan rubbish.
Well, he was going back to the Middle Ages, really, with the church being responsible for the spiritual guidance of the nation and the state being responsible for defending the nation and increasing the prosperity, and the two not crossing lines, and the state defending the church and the church defending the state. And that is what that Reich's Concordat resulted in. Hitler was responsible for the earthly side of things, and the Pope was responsible for the spiritual side of things. And that's what Hitler outlined in Mein Kampf. That's what he wanted to see. He wanted to see children being educated in Christianity and taught Christian morals and beliefs. He didn't write anything about children learning pagan beliefs.
No, exactly. But they will come with barrel full of excuses. Nothing concrete. They have even table talks. You know, that's all they ever quote. They've got nothing else, and that came out after Hitler died. So, at the end of the day, you know, they have so much propaganda. It's a little bit like, you know, the awakening to begin with. Like, you've been told for 25 years Germans were evil, and then you watch a documentary and suddenly you believe they weren't evil. It upsets the wiring. And this is the same thing what's going to happen with pagans, I think.
Well, I think this next one is a very good example of it. I mean, whoever wrote this, I can't understand how people can write stuff like this. It's so deluded. This is someone called John Hamm. We'll split his comment up. He says, Hitler himself denounced hatred of Jews in Mein Kampf and merely wanted the troublemakers out of Germany, if one actually reads his writings. Well, I don't really understand that. Hitler denounced hatred of Jews in Mein Kampf? I think Hitler very, very carefully and meticulously detailed all the reasons why Jews were hated by people and what it was that they had actually done. Yes, he did merely want them out of Germany, but he certainly didn't denounce anti-Semites. He didn't say...
It was warning the Germans, even said, didn't he, that you're no match for this Jew who wakes up every day and, you know, thinks of ways to bring you down. You're just, because we're not that way inclined. We have a different kind of a DNA.
You know, to be anti-Semitism, to be anti-Jewishness is exactly the way that we should be as white people. We shouldn't be supportive of usury and pornography and everyone out for the individual and encouraging race mixing and encouraging perversity and encouraging greed and taking whatever it is you want without any thought for anybody else around you. All those things are Jewish ideals, and National Socialism was against Jewish ideals. So to say that Hitler himself denounced hatred of Jews, I really don't know where he got that from. You've read Mein Kampf, haven't you, Dennis? Can you recall anything like that in there?
No, I mean, no. Like he points out, as they found in Austria, you know, about the Jews, he couldn't, from not seeing any originally, they were all, he could see them all over the place. It was like an awakening for him, and so he's going to warn his people.
Well, his next one, he says, the book Table Talks is even better. By that, he means it's better than Mein Kampf. The book Table Talks is even better and clarifies his spirituality and thoughts on religion, specifically about Bolshevism being the grandchild of Christianity, which was a Semitic communist plot to destroy Rome from the very beginning, and what a shyster and rogue St. Paul was. I mean, that's just incredible, isn't it? I mean, reading that should tell anyone with any sense that if that's what's in Table Talks, then throw it in the bin. It's the complete opposite of everything that's in Mein Kampf and everything that he said in his speeches.
And Bolshevism, I mean, being a grandchild rather, Christianity, you know, that's the grandchild murdering the grandfather, isn't it, really?
Yeah, you know, to think he would be saying that while, you know, there was 100,000 Christians being killed by the Bolsheviks, churches being destroyed. And this, it was a Semitic communist plot to destroy Rome from the very beginning. I mean, all that sort of nonsense is the stuff that we've seen since the war, people saying things like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's been the theme, hasn't it?
That's the, you know, plus, that's like a modern way of looking at it.
Yeah, plus like the Vatican's been infiltrated inside and out and made to look bad as well. So obviously people don't think nothing, they don't even bother researching if it's true or not.
And he's insulting St. Paul here, and St. Paul was, you know, besides Jesus Christ, St. Paul was probably the most important, you know, one of the apostles, and he was a nationalist, and he was very anti-Jewish. He said the Jews were trying to kill him. He talked about the synagogue of Satan. He talked about the vessels fitted for mercy and the vessels fitted for destruction when he was drawing a comparison between the sons of Esau and the sons of Isaac. I guess maybe people might get a bit confused with that, but the sons of Esau are the Jews. That's what he's pointing out there. St. Paul, to say that St. Paul was a shyster and a rogue, to think that the guy that was the head of the new Holy Roman Empire and had been given the robe of Christ and the lance of Longinus was, you know, saying, oh, well, the guy that actually started Christianity off after Christ, well, he was a shyster and a rogue. It just doesn't make sense, does it?
You know what I mean? Yeah, doesn't add up.
And the book itself is, as I say, it's unverified because nobody can confirm that it was actually Hitler speaking. Hitler's no longer alive, so he can't contest it. Yeah. And when you get books like that, when you get books that are released after people have died and you don't really know if they are, official, then yeah, the way to do it is to look at what's said in there. And if it contradicts what you do know is correct, such as, does it contradict what is said in Mein Kampf? If it does contradict what is said in Mein Kampf, then, you know, it cannot be looked at as legitimate.
Exactly.
It's unverified. That's what they did with the Apocrypha. You know, and there's lots of evidence to show that the Apocrypha should be in the Bible. But the way people use the Apocrypha is, if it confirms what's in the Bible, then you can use it. But if it doesn't confirm what's in the Bible, then you can't use it. You can't say, oh, we're going to believe the Apocrypha, but not the Bible, which is what people that talk about Table Talks are saying. They're saying, well, we're going to believe Table Talks, but we're not going to believe Mein Kampf that he wrote while he was alive and that we know that he wrote. We're going to believe something that we have no confirmation whatsoever that was what he was thinking.
Exactly.
It's just because people want to think that. That's what it is. People want to think that.
I mean, these pagans want to be pagans and they look at Hitler as, you know, truly was, you know, tried to save Europe. And they want a pagan to be that kind of guy. But unfortunately, in reality, it's different.
Well, the last part of his comment, I think, is a real beauty, this one. He says, Hitler also considered Jesus to be a bastard halfling of a Roman centurion. Now, where do you think that comes from, the idea that Jesus was a bastard halfling of a Roman centurion?
It comes straight out. Halfling, because some kind of clergy, I know that one.
Well, it comes straight out.
Call him.
Straight out. It comes straight out of the Talmud.
Yeah.
That is exactly what the Talmud says about Jesus. So do you think Hitler would have been quoting the Talmud for what he thinks about Jesus? Or would he be quoting the Christian Bible?
Exactly.
And this just shows you because, you know, this is what actually really got me. Because before I was into nationalism, before I became a nationalist, before I got into Christian identity, I used to follow a lot of this Gnostic stuff and I used to follow a lot of this pagan stuff. And all the books that I had that were talking about mystic Christianity and all religions are the same and, you know, there's the same in all of them. Every single one of them, when they were talking about Christianity, would refer to the Talmud or they would refer to Jews as being the authority on the subject. And they would say, well, you know, the Jews are the authority on the subject because it was their religion that got turned into Christianity. And that is completely the opposite of the way around that things are. And yet all of these books, all these alternative books, the books that expose Freemasonry or written by Freemasons, written by Gnostics and all that sort of thing, every single one of them refers to the Talmud or to Jews or rabbis about Jesus. And then they say, well, the New Testament is wrong and it's what these rabbis are saying is right. And it's these books that today's nationalist pagans refer to. And that's why this guy here, who obviously thinks himself a nationalist, that's why he's saying Hitler considered Jesus to be a bastard halfling of a Roman centurion because he's heard that from someone who got that from a Jew.
Correct.
You know, you would think that if people have woken up to the fact that the Jews have lied about the Holocaust, that they might very well be lying about their links to the Bible as well. Because that's another thing that benefits them in a huge way, doesn't it? For people to think of them as the chosen people.
Well, it's not only the Jews, I'm going to expose the Freemason organizations, but I've also spread lies, which is in keeping with what you just said, you know, the Jewish agenda. That'll be coming up as well in the series.
Well, have you got a new one planned already? A new chapter planned already?
Well, I had one planned just before this one, but I found all the information on this one, so I did this one first, and I was halfway through the original one, which is now going to be 14. And yeah, I've got good material in that as well.
So it might not be too long until we get chapter 14.
Normal, maybe.
Nice one.
Yeah.
Well, we've got an up-to-date question next, and this comes from Britonic, and she wants to know what you think of the royal wedding that just happened, Dennis.
Yes, he, actually, yeah.
He.
Well, I answered nothing because I didn't think anything. I didn't watch it. I didn't even think about it. I didn't even realise it were on until somebody mentioned it later on at night. So, but what somebody else said was, it was an abomination. And I just added then after that an expensive one at that. And that's all I said on the subject because I've no interest.
It was nice to see the patriotism, but it was completely misplaced. It was good to see the waving of the flags and the pride in the royal family, but how can you have pride in somebody that's marrying a mulatto?
Yeah, and obviously there's nothing said about this mass immigration into London. Nothing at all, not a word, you know, so it's all New World's our agenda in it.
And if you look at the royal site, the royals have a website and they've got a whole page on Meghan Merkle, and all it is about is what a feminist she is and how she's empowered women in Rwanda and taught them leadership skills, and how when she's princess, she's going to push feminism wherever she goes and whatever she does. It's all political, and they're not supposed to be political. Not supposed to have anything to do with politics. And everything about her is social justice warrior and pushing feminism. And part of me does think, well, it serves the royals right, really, to have to put up with that.
You know, yeah, I agree.
Harry marrying her, because she's going to be a right royal pain in the ass to all of them, I bet.
Yeah.
Well, next one, we got one from Nationalist from Canada. And this is a bit of a regular question we get, this one, Dennis, isn't it? And he says, what do you think of Putin? I think he is a bit of a creep. What do you think of Putin, Dennis?
He's an enigma, I've got to be honest. I mean, if I stuck to me saying of won by war, lost by war, then I've got to say there hasn't been a war for Russia to change anything from the Soviet Union. But, you know, it was dying on its face and it was left to be dying on its face. And Putin did bring it back and with certain nationalistic views, but then he taints that with everything, you know, anti-national socialist. So it's hard to say. I see him supplying Syria with anti-missile weapons capable of taking down these Israeli planes that have been bombing Syria willy-nilly. And at the same time, I see him smiling with Netanyahu. So what can you say?
Yeah, I think that's the right word. Is an enigma. And there's a second part to his question as well. He says, also, do you have any interesting stuff on the origins of the neocons and this ideological subversion? I'm intrigued by this type of stuff. Now, I know that you've got lots on the neocons in Communism by the Back Door, haven't you, Dennis?
Yeah, because it's more proof, more depth. Surprises a lot of people to find out that the Iraq War is actually another Bolshevik war. And when you look at what went on at the prison down there as well, how they treated the prisoners, it shouldn't surprise you because, you know, Bush is a Trotskyite, and all these neocons, Cheney and all them are all Trotskyites. Trotskyite were Satanists as well, by the way. And so, you know, because when they go into these wars, they do the sacrifice as well, in the first Iraq war when they were coming out of Kuwait and they did the, you know, the mile, 1 mile of horror. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me, but people don't realize that that was a Bolshevik war.
Which episode was it? Because you went right through the Trotskyites and the origins of the neocons. I'm sure you did a whole episode on it.
I did, yeah. I think it's going to be 9, I think, but I'm guessing. I'll find out for you. But yeah, I mean, that was the turning point of that documentary when suddenly it was obvious that America had been infiltrated by the Iran, you know, when the Iranian Revolution, when Reagan took over, and he said, send me them prisoners home and so on. And then within 10 minutes, they were sent home. But all that were all a big con job where the CIA, Daddy Bush had been trying to get back in power. The neocons helped him back into power. And then he repaid them by giving them power. So consequently, for the first time, the neocons had a power base in Washington, which is not the place you want communists.
I remember it being very detailed.
Yeah, yeah. E. Michael Jones went into great detail.
Yeah, it's a very detailed expose wherever it is, so I do recommend people check that out. And I've got one final comment here, which I'll say till the end, because it's two quotes, really, two really good quotes. And this is from Big Bad One. And he says, after the war, Patton openly admitted that we, the United States, fought against the wrong people. On September the 22nd, 1945, Patton stated, quote, there is a very apparent Semitic influence in the press. They are trying to do two things. First, implement communism. And second, see that all businessmen of German ancestry and non-Jewish antecedents are thrown out of their jobs. In my opinion, and that of most non-political officers, it is vitally necessary for us to build Germany up now as a buffer state against Russia. In fact, I'm afraid we have waited too long. Close quote. Very true thing to say. And in a letter later that night to his wife, Patton wrote, quote, I can't tell them the truth that unless we restore Germany, we will ensure that communism takes America. Close quote. Those comments by Patton are very much in line with what Hitler felt and was fighting against. And like Germany and Hitler, who fought against international communism and Zionism, Patton would be destroyed. General George S. Patton died in a Heidelberg, Germany hospital, December 21st, 1945, due to complications from a broken neck he had sustained 11 days earlier in a minor automobile accident. General Patton, a high-ranking, decorated war veteran, died under obvious, suspicious, and potentially criminal involvement. Yet no report was made of the incident and no autopsy was performed, and the post-mortem findings remain classified to this day. I didn't know about the post-mortem findings remaining classified.
Yeah, it's all in the last episode of Greatest Story Never Told.
So you've already covered that, so he's just...
Yeah.
He's just repeating it back to you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's true as well. I mean... they didn't want Patton going back to America with them thoughts, because he could quite easily have run for presidency with his reputation and how he was thought of. So they probably sat there and thought the best way to do it is to get him killed before he got back to America. So, you know, with everything else on top, no public reports or anything, they've kept it subverted.
That is exactly what needed to be done, though, didn't it? You know, they did need to build Germany up. And communism was the threat. But they couldn't allow that to be said just yet. That was the
point. Well, it's a need-to-know basis. I think America had been infiltrated long back, and it's a need-to-know basis. Even Patton didn't know. But the Jews in the army would have known, Eisenhower would have known, and Roosevelt would have known, because... they do know, if you understand.
Anyway, that's the end of the podcast. So I'll say thank you very much for coming on, Dennis. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. Don't forget that we do require your donations to keep the radio station going, and you'll find a Bitcoin wallet at the bottom of every article. We will be back next Friday with another Truthful Out Radio for you. And, of course, we do hope you all have a great bank holiday weekend ahead of you.
tuned in to Radio Aryan.